Will you please turn to the book of Revelation? Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has washed us from our sins in his blood, and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be the glory and the might to the ages of ages. Amen. The same book, chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. And they sing a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open its seals, because thou hast been slain and hast redeemed to God by thy blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and made them to our God kings and priests, and they shall reign over the earth. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 4 and 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. To whom coming a living stone, cast away indeed as worthless by men, but with God chosen, precious, yourselves also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. The same chapter, verses 9 and 10. But ye are a chosen race, a kingly priesthood, a holy nation, a people for a possession, that ye might set forth the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness to his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now God's people, who were not enjoying mercy, but now have found mercy. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we want to praise and thank Thee for all that Thou hast done for us. We thank Thee for Thy amazing love. We thank Thee for redeeming us, forgiving all our sins. And we thank Thee for Thy purpose upon us is great and glorious. Lord, as we continue in Thy presence, we pray that Thy Spirit will open Thy Word to our hearts and bring us into Thy truth, that Thou mayest be glorified. We ask in Thy precious name. Amen. This morning we would like to fellowship on a subject that I feel is very basic to us Christians. And it is this matter on the universal priesthood of believers. Even though this term is not found in the Bible, but the truth is there. The universal priesthood of believers. Now, in order to understand this truth, we would like to go back to the Old Testament. You remember, after God has delivered His children, the children of Israel, out of Egypt, He brought them to Himself as on eagle's wings to Mount Sinai. And there in Exodus chapter 19, He declared to His people His thought for them. He said, if you hearken to My voice and keep My covenant, I will make you a people of My possession out of all people, and I will make you a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. In other words, God's thought for His own people, for His redeemed ones, is to make them a kingdom of priests. Which means every citizen in that kingdom is a priest. Young and old, male and female, everyone in that kingdom is a priest. In other words, God's desire for His people is that they may serve Him. This is a great privilege and honor that God bestowed to man. But unfortunately, when Moses went to Mount Sinai to receive the two tables of the law, the children of Israel on the plain, they worship the golden calf. So when Moses came down, he saw this situation. He broke the two tables of stones. In other words, they have broken God's law. And He commanded the people to drink the result of their sins. That is, the golden calf was melted, and then it was spread in the river. And the children of Israel had to drink their own sins. Now, in doing that, they disqualify themselves completely from serving the Lord as priests. Now, you remember the story. Moses stood at the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Only the tribe of Levi stood with him. And they were commanded to go from gate to gate to slay everyone that they met, whoever that person may be. And the children of Levi, they did it. In a sense, they purify themselves from their sins. Now, as an emergency measure of God, God set apart the tribe of Levi, the family of Aaron, to be priests. In other words, the whole nation was not fit to serve God. And God, in His grace and mercy, chose one tribe, one family, to be priests. But this was not God's original design. This was God's emergency measure. And to show the heart of God, how He desired that His people will serve Him. You remember in Numbers chapter 6, God opened a back door. In Numbers chapter 6, God said, if any man or woman who will take the vow of the Nazarite to consecrate themselves for the Lord, they could do it. Now, what is the vow of the Nazarite? It is a vow to separate himself or herself, to devote their lives to the Lord. Now, maybe that vow is only for a month, but it can be for life. So the vow of Nazarite is God opening a way for anyone who loves the Lord and who still wants to serve Him, he or she may do so. So, dear brothers and sisters, in this vow of the Nazarite, we can see the heart of God. God's heart is that all who are redeemed should be priests and serve Him. Now, that you'll find in the Old Testament. Now, when you come to the New Testament, we remember that when our Lord Jesus came, He is to restore all things back to God's original design. That is the work of our Lord Jesus. So when He came, we find that He has not only loved us and redeemed us, washed us from our sins in His blood, but He has made us a kingdom, priests unto God and Father. Out of every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every people, God has brought a people unto Himself and has made them kings and priests unto God. And you find in 1 Peter, Peter said, as we come to the Lord, we are as living stones, being built up together into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer gifts acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are a chosen people, a holy nation, a kingly priesthood. Now, there is a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, God declared His purpose to the children of Israel. He wants them to be a nation, a kingdom of priests. But it is a promise. It is conditional. God said, now if you hearken to my voice, and if you keep my covenant, then I will make you a kingdom of priests. But unfortunately, they forfeited that promise. Now, with us today, it is different, because it is more than a promise. It is a fact. The Lord has redeemed us and has made us priests unto God. So, brothers and sisters, today we are so privileged. We who are redeemed of the Lord, we are a kingdom of priests. Every one of us is a priest. This is our birthright. This is what God by grace has already given to us. We may not have the title, we may not have the position, but certainly we have the reality. So, dear brothers and sisters, every one of us who are redeemed, purchased by the blood of our Lord Jesus, whether you are young, whether you are old, whether you are man, or whether you are woman, everyone is a priest by birth, by birthright. This is what we are. God has given us a priestly life. The very life, the new life that has been given to us is a priestly life. In other words, in that life there is a nature, a desire, a wish to serve God. It is not something that is put on us from outside. It is something that comes from within us, from our very life, that we want to serve Him. Now thank God for such things. But sadly, as we come to church history, we find almost the same thing happened to the church as to the children of Israel. Now, even at the end of the first century, now we know the seven letters in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. These are addressed to the seven churches in Asia towards the end of the first century. They were actual churches there. Now, even there, you find in the church in Ephesus, the Lord recommends the church in Ephesus in many things. Now, even though He is against them for one thing, and that is they have left their first love. But anyway, you find the church in Ephesus, at least they have one thing that the Lord recommends them. And that is in verse 6, chapter 2, verse 6. The Lord said, you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. When you go into church history, you do not find a group, a sect called Nicolaitans. People try to say, well, one of the seven deacons in Acts chapter 6 is Nicholas. So some people say Nicolaitans come from Nicholas. In other words, they became a sect. But truly you find there is no evidence in church history. Strange to say, in the seven letters, there are several names named, but you cannot find them in history. For instance, the name Antipas. You cannot find Antipas in church history. So maybe there is one way to understand it. All these names are not actual persons or groups, name of groups, but they convey to us by the very name something. Nicolaitans. It means, Nicol means overcome, conquer. Laiton is laity. In other words, conquering, overcoming the laity, the common people. In other words, a class raised up, a work comes forth, a few chosen people, as it were. They begin to go over the common people and take charge of all spiritual things. Nicolaitans. In other words, they begin to be a class, so-called sacred class and common people in the church. That is something that our Lord hates. And fortunately, the church in Ephesus, however fallen they are, they still hate the same thing that God hates. But when you come to the church in Pergamos, you find it is different. In Ephesus, it is only the works of the Nicolaitans. In other words, there are certain people who begin to act like that. But in the church in Pergamos, it becomes the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Gradually it reduces to a doctrine, to a teaching. Something that was done had developed into a teaching, a doctrine. In the church in Pergamos, the Nicolaitans become a doctrine. In other words, it has been solidified. Now this happened towards the end of the first century. But then as the church history goes on, when you come to the fourth century, during the second and the third century, the church went through great persecutions from the Roman Empire. But at the end of the third century, beginning of the fourth century, Constantine the Great became the Roman Empire or Emperor. And he endorsed Christianity. He encouraged people to join Christianity. And because there was the royal preference and favor, people just flock into Christianity. But they were not born again. They were not saved. They were not redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. They did not really belong to the family of God. And for them to serve God, it was impossible. So in order to meet this situation, a certain group of people were being trained to do the so-called sacred work instead of the multitude. The great multitude became the laity, and a few chosen ones, specially trained, became the sacred class that will do all the so-called religious, sacred works for the whole people. It began to develop. So in the 6th century, the Roman Catholic Church was formally established. And in that system, you had the so-called priest or father class. A class of people who were specially trained to do the so-called sacred work. And they are called priests or fathers. And the rest of the Catholic people, they just being served and let the few represent them before God. It was a failure. It was a forfeiture of our birthright. Now, during the Reformation in the 16th century, thank God for Reformation. An open Bible, justification by faith. And actually, Martin Luther, the reformer, he saw the universal priesthood of believers. He believed that all believers are priests. But why did he not practice it? Because he looked at the situation and he saw in the so-called churches most of the people did not know the Lord. And how could you practice the universal priesthood of believers? So he did teach of it, but he did not practice it. And unfortunately, because it was not practiced, so in the Protestant churches, you find it just follow the old tradition. In the Protestant churches, you find either, for instance, like the Anglican Church, they still call these people priests. And in other denominations, they call them pastors. It is the same thing. A small group substituting the people of God in the service of God. And this was something that our Lord hated. So, dear brothers and sisters, we believe that the truth in the Word of God is the universal priesthood of believers. Every believer is a priest. And this has to be recovered. Thank God, in spite of the failure of the churches of Christianity, actually, when you read church history, not the official one, but the secret one, you'll find throughout the centuries, there have been people who believe in the universal priesthood of believers and who practiced it. Brothers and sisters, do you know who you are? Do you know that you are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Do you know that you are being made priests unto God? Do you know that you, as priests, is your birthright. You have been given that birthright. But do you fulfill it? Now, what is a priest? A priest is someone who is separated to serve God. That is a priest. He is separated. Separated from all other things. From all other services. With the sole purpose of serving God. That is a priest. A priest is one who is bringing people to God. And at the same time, he is bringing God to the people. He is to bring God and people together. That is the work of a priest. Now, if you use the Old Testament type, you realize what are the works of the priest. When the children of Israel, either they were convicted of something they did wrong, they need to be redeemed. And they will bring a sacrifice, say a sin offering or a trespass offering to the Lord. But they could not offer it themselves because they were disqualified. They had to do it by the hands, through the hands of the priest. The priest will offer for them the sin offering or the trespass offering, to make atonement for their sins. Or if a child of Israel, he was touched by something God has done to him, and he wanted to express his gratitude, he couldn't do it by himself. He had to bring his gifts, or sacrifice, burnt offering, peace offering, oblation. He had to bring them to the priest and let the priest offer these things to God for him to be accepted. So the work of a priest is to help the people, to bring the people to God. A priest, he will go into the holy place. And there in the holy place, he will set up on the golden table of showbread, the showbread. Now you remember the showbread are 12 in number. In other words, the showbread on the one side represents Christ, his perfectness. Yet on the other hand, it represents the children of Israel, God's people who are redeemed. So in other words, you'll find the priest, he will present the children of Israel as showbread before God. Lay them before God. And he will light the lamps. In other words, he will teach the people the light of God, the word of God, that they may know what is God's will. And also he will also burn incense at the golden altar of incense. In other words, he will pray for the people. The people, they can pray, but they have to join their prayer with the priests to be effective. And once a year, the high priest, he will enter behind the veil to the holiest of all to atone for the sins of the nation. Now that's the work of the priest. In this you find he is leading the children of Israel from outer court to holy place to the holiest of all, to the very presence of God. That is one way. And there's another way. You'll find the high priest, after he has atoned for the nation, he will come out from the presence of God and will bless the people. In other words, he will bring God to the people. And the priests, they are also being set up as judges. They will judge the people. That is to say, they will bring the judgment of God to the people. They are also instructors and teachers of the people. They will explain the word of God to the children of Israel. They will tell the people what is holy and what is unholy, what is clean and what is unclean, so that the children of Israel may be a holy nation. Now, all these are the works of the priest. All these represent that they are to be the mediators, bringing God and man together. Now, dear brothers and sisters, we who are priests today. Now, suppose a person suddenly come to you and say, "Priest so-and-so," will you be frightened? Will you say, "Oh, no, I'm not a priest"? Well, if you deny that you are a priest, you're right and you're wrong. You're right because you have not been ordained by man as a priest. You do not have the title. You do not have the office. But you're wrong because you are ordained by God to be a priest. You are a priest. That is what you are. That is your person. Don't forget that. Now, if you are a priest, what is your work? You are being separated to serve God. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. You are saved to serve God. From the day that you are saved, you are born again. You are separated from everything. Separated unto God. So your occupation, your vocation is serving God. No believer has the right to serve anything else but God. We have no right to serve the world. We may work in the world. We have no right to serve ourselves. We may do things as for ourselves. But strictly, we as priests have been separated from everything to serve God. This is our vocation. As to in what area, in what way God wants us to serve Him. Now that is our avocation. Maybe God wants you to be a doctor. Maybe God wants you to be an engineer. Maybe God wants you to be a nurse. Maybe God wants you to be a housewife. Maybe at this moment God wants you to be a student. Whatever that may be, your vocation, your life vocation is to serve God. Daniel, he might be the prime minister of the greatest empires in the world, both the Babylonian Empire and the Medo-Persian Empire. And yet, even the Persian emperor knew, said, Daniel, the God whom you serve, is he able to deliver you? Dear brothers and sisters, we have forgotten who we are. And because we have forgotten who we are not fulfilling our functions. So first and foremost, dear brothers and sisters, we need to be reminded of who we are. We are priests unto God. Not unto man, but unto God. Our work is to bring man to God. This is the reason why we should be witnesses. We witness our Lord Jesus to the world. This is the reason why we preach the gospel. We try to bring people to Christ. We are helping people to have their sins forgiven by the blood of the Lord Jesus. We are helping them towards God, to present them to God, to enlighten them, to pray for them, to bring them to the very presence of God. Our work is not bring people to ourselves. Our work are to bring people to our Lord. To help our brothers and sisters to know more of Christ. Not only just to know, but to be transformed, to be changed into His likeness. To encourage, to exhort, to comfort brothers and sisters. Help them to know the Lord. And we are to bring God to the people. We are to wash our brothers' feet, to bring the love of God to His people, to serve them, to let them know how much God loved them. Brothers and sisters, every one of us is to be engaged in such work. Because we are priests. Now, how are we going to fulfill our function as priests? Number one, we need to remember that we are born again to be priests. You know, in the book of Numbers, chapter 3, God said, He has separated the tribe of Levi to substitute all the firstborn of Israel. Now you remember when Israel was in Egypt, and when the angel of destruction passed through all Egypt that night to kill all the firstborn. The firstborn of the children of Israel were saved because of the blood of the Lamb. And yet after Passover, God said, all the firstborn are mine, because they were delivered. They belong to God. And then God used the tribe of Levi to substitute all the firstborn of the children of Israel. When God numbered the children of Israel, He numbered them from 30 years old and upward, 20 years old and upward. Why? Because they were to be soldiers. But when He numbered the tribe of Levi, it was from 1 month old and upward. In other words, the Levites were born to serve God. From the very time they were born, they were to serve God. They were separated. That's what they were. So a child that was born to the tribe of Levi, after he was born, when he was raised up, he was raised up with the sole purpose of serving God. His whole education centered upon this matter of service. And then when he was 25 years old, he would enter into the tabernacle to serve as an apprentice. And when he was 30, he was a full-fledged priest or Levite in service. Now, brothers and sisters, this is a picture. It is a picture of us. The moment you are born again, your destiny is fixed. Your whole life is towards serving God. All your education is in that direction. You may not know it, but God knows it. So whatever profession you may be in later on, God is using you to serve His purpose, to serve Him. So never forget that. But for a priest to begin his service in the house of God, to be born in the family of Aaron, is not enough. He has to go through a ceremony. Before he can serve, and that you find in Leviticus chapter 8, in Exodus chapter 29. It is called a ceremony of consecration. Now we will not go into the detail. I hope you will read them yourselves. It's very interesting. Now the main thing you will find in that ceremony are composed of three things. One is the priest is to be clothed with the priestly garments. Now, he cannot serve just with ordinary garments. He has to be clothed with priestly garments for glory and for beauty. Then, you find he has to be anointed by oil. And after that, he had to present a ram of consecration, the second ram. And when that second ram was killed, the fat, the right shoulder of that ram, and with some cakes and leavened bread, will fill the hands of the priests, and they will wave them before the Lord. This is called the consecration offering. And after that, they will begin their service in the tabernacle. Now, what does all this mean? You know, this is picture. When you come to the New Testament, that is what Romans 12, 1 and 2 tell us. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then following that, you find that chapter is on service. So, brothers and sisters, we who are born again, who are born priests, supposed to serve God as our life vocation. Now, how do we start that? We need to consecrate our lives to the Lord. You know, consecration is not for a few. That is a grave error. When I was first saved, that was the wrong teaching I received. I was told that I need to consecrate myself if I want to serve God, to be a preacher. That's not true. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, all who have received the mercies of God, all who are being touched by the compassions of God, present voluntarily, willingly, your bodies, yourself, as a living sacrifice. That is to say, from now on, you live for Him. You allow Him to work out His purpose in your life. Without consecration, you do not begin your priestly service. So that is the reason why consecration is so important. Every believer must not withhold his or her consecration. May the love of Christ constrain us, knowing that one died for all, that we all die. And we live today not for ourselves, but for Him who died and lived for us. Dear brothers and sisters, have you consecrated yourself wholly to the Lord? if you do not fill your hands with Christ, what fills your hand? May Christ fill our heart and fill our hands, that we may wave it before the Lord, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Finally, a kingdom of priests, a holy priesthood. In other words, priests work together as a priesthood, as a kingdom. We do not call to serve God independently of each other. We are not called to serve each according to his or her like. We are to serve as a priesthood. Now, in the Old Testament time, you find there are thousands of priests, but they serve under Aaron, the high priest. In other words, it is a priesthood. They serve in 24 courses, but all under the direction of the high priest. Now, we are told that at the time of our Lord Jesus, that's the way that the priest functioned. When one of the 24 courses was on duty, how do they know what part of the services they should be engaging? Before daylight, before the door of the temple was open, that course of priests on duty, they were gathered in a room, and they were cast lot. And wherever the lot falls, that's the work of that certain priest that day. Because in the temple there are many works to be done. Some are to praise God. Some are to offer sacrifices. Some are to burn the incense, and so on and so forth. So, how do they know what to do? Which work to be engaged in? They do not choose themselves. Under the direction of the high priest, they cast lot. Because the Holy Spirit hasn't come yet. So they cast lot before God and let God direct them. And then each will work. But they work as a team, as a priesthood, according to the direction of the high priest of God. Now today, brothers and sisters, we are a priesthood. How are we going to serve God? Under one great high priest, our Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus in heaven today is our great high priest. He makes intercession for us unceasingly. He is able to save us to the uttermost. At the same time, he is a high priest. He is directing us as priests, how to serve him. Today we do not cast lot anymore, because the Holy Spirit has already come. He is in each one of us. And he is in the church. So, dear brothers and sisters, The Holy Spirit gives gifts to everyone of the redeemed. Do not say you have no gift. Now, we are not talking about natural talent. We believe that natural talents are given providentially by God. But you cannot serve with your natural talents. Your natural talents has to go through death and resurrection for God to use it. But over and above our natural talents, God give us spiritual gifts, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, as you find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Not of you, of the Holy Spirit. He will give gift to each one of us. All different. Distinctions of gift, but the same Spirit. Distinctions of services, but the same Lord. Distinctions of operation, but the same God who operates through all. God gave us all different gifts. And even with the gifts, we are to function under the direction of our high priest. How? Today, through the Holy Spirit. So when we wait together before the Lord, He by His Spirit will direct us as to what we are to do. And if we all faithfully do our parts, we work together as one under our great high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, you will find the body will build itself up in love. So may the Lord help us that we do not just forfeit our birthright. Let us use our birthright and function according to the will of God, because this is God's heart. This is God's thought. This is God's original purpose for His people. Just think of that. Who are we that God will give us such privilege and honor to serve Him? As one brother used to say, we need to crawl to God and say, Lord, why do you give us such honor? Shall we pray? Dear Lord, Thou art the living head, and we are Thy living body. We pray that our life in the body, in all the members of the body, may be expressed in service unto yourself. We do commit ourselves into thy hands. Lord, bring us into thy truth. Make thy truth a living reality among thy people, so that thou mayest be glorified. We ask in thy precious name. Amen.